In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord.
Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Seek the Lord and his strength.
Seek his presence continually.
Remember the wondrous works that he has done,
his miracles and the judgments he uttered.
O offspring of Abraham, his servant.
Children of Jacob, his chosen ones.
He is the Lord our God.
His judgments are in all the earth.
He remembers his covenant forever.
The word that he commanded for a thousand generations.
Hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord,
who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion, and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel,
who alone does wondrous things.
Give the king your justice, O God,
and your righteousness to the royal son.
May he judge your people with righteousness,
and your poor with justice.
Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people,
and the hills in righteousness.
May he defend the cause of the poor of the people.
Give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor.
May they fear you while the sun endures,
and as long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass,
like showers that water the earth.
In his days may the righteousness flourish,
and peace abound till the moon be no more. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel,
who alone does wondrous things.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 15th chapter. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another, as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles, and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah! Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Hallelujah!
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that therefore that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come.
to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from the Gospel of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, I'll reread the first 3 verses. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" This is our text. God's thunderbolt. God's thunderbolt. That's what John the Baptist was. God's thunderbolt in the wilderness of Judea. You see, John came shaking things up. He came shaking people out of their lethargy, waking them up from a spiritual coma, sending a current through their bodies that made their hair stand on end. Oh, that God would make our living nativity do the same for even one person this year. I dare say it would shake you up too, to see someone in a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist eating locusts and honey. It would shake you up to see an Old Testament prophet alive and in the flesh, in Elijah or Elisha or Isaiah, stepping off the pages of Holy Scripture. A prophet whose bones are burning with the need to speak the word of the Lord. That's John the Baptist. I wonder about you. When you encounter something strange, something perhaps awe-inspiring, do you fear to look, or does your curiosity get the better of you? Curiosity got the better of those who lived in Jerusalem and in Judea and around the Jordan River. Curiosity even got the better of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They couldn't help themselves. They had to go out to the wilderness. They had to see this strange man, hear his strange words. They came to John the Baptist. But you know what shook them most of all was not the way John the Baptist appeared, and it was not what John the Baptist ate. It was the words that thundered from his lips. Repent! Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord is coming, John the Baptist preached. That much is certain. Repent. Now there's a word that strikes like a hammer. There's a word that falls like lightning. Or at least it should. I wonder if we've become so accustomed that the word repent simply bounces off of us. Now, repentance may start with saying sorry. It may begin by asking for mercy, but it goes a whole lot deeper than that. The word repent means to turn around, to start going in another direction. It involves a conversion of the mind, a change of heart, a new attitude. Repent is not just about the outside, but repent is a word meant to penetrate all the way to the inside. So repentance doesn't just touch a part of life. It touches the whole of life. And it's not just something you do once to get over with, or a mere moment in time. It's something that must be repeated, part of an ongoing life. John calls people. He calls us, calls you and me to repentance as a way of life, as a daily way of life. This also means that you can't repent by simply checking a box or by going through certain motions. It's not something that you can manufacture or fake. You can't repent partially. You can't repent halfway. It's all or nothing. To repent halfway would be like being sorry you got caught, but not being sorry for what you actually did. You know the kind of apology, right? the non-apology apology. I'm sorry that you feel that way. Sorry for your feelings, but not really sorry for what I've done or what I've said. That's what a halfway repentance is like. You might be able to fool others like that, but you certainly can't fool God. That's what John the Baptist is warning. God can see right through you. He sees right through to the bottom, right through the everything's great social media post, right through the smiling Christmas picture, right through the standard I'm fine when someone asks how you are. He sees through all of that. He sees through the cleaned up on the outside me, and he knows all of it. He knows where the dirt gets piled. He knows where the dust collects. He knows where I hide my trash. Repent. Repent is like a spotlight from heaven, shining on all of that, shining on every dark and dusty and cobwebbed and trash-filled corner. Repent is a word that pulls out the brooms and fires up the shop vac because it's time for some cleaning. Time to get ready. Prepare the way. Straighten out what's crooked. That's John's job. He's a preacher of repentance. And what exactly does John want from those who hear him? What does he want from us? John is not concerned about creating anguish or misery or despair. His goal is not to get you weeping in a puddle on the floor. He doesn't simply want a bunch of people with a woe is me, I'm so terrible attitude. That's not his goal. What does he want? He wants an honest assessment of how we stand with God. He wants us to see ourselves as if in a mirror with honesty and godly sorrow. John doesn't care about debating the nuances. He's not interested in you trying to justify this or that thing, or arguing. He doesn't want to argue with you about whether that's a sin or not a sin, or a big sin or a little sin or whatever. He doesn't have any use for that, investigating, dividing, distinguishing that we like to do. He hurls everything together and he simply says, repent. Since repentance means a change of mind, we could ask how John's preaching changes us, how it changes our minds. How does the coming of the Lord, whom John proclaims, change our mind as a congregation? What might we need to do or do differently? What attitudes need to be changed? What relationships need to be mended? And what about our lives as individuals? What promises of God do you struggle to believe? What commands of God do you have trouble accepting and living out? Those who believe John's message receive baptism for the forgiveness of sins. So what might it look like for us, we who are already baptized, to live out repentance in our day, in these gray and latter days? And note that John preached this repentance to everyone. He preached it to the average person who came. He preached it to the criminal that may have stood on the banks of the Jordan River. And he preached it to the Pharisees and Sadducees that thought that they had no need of repentance. I suppose the Pharisees and Sadducees sat there listening to John, realizing all of the other people needed to repent, but thinking perhaps that they had nothing to repent of, nothing they needed to turn away from, nothing in their mind that needed to be changed. But John thought otherwise. He told them, like he tells us, repent. And why? Why are we to repent? Why repentance now? Why does John drive all of us toward repentance with his preaching? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what he says. Because the reign of God is coming near. Because, as we heard from St. Paul last Sunday, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. John is preparing the way for the Lord, preparing the way so that he can point sinners toward grace, so that we can receive with joy the forgiveness and mercy that our Lord brings, that comes in Jesus. If we, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, think that we have nothing to repent of, then we also have no need of Jesus. If we think that we have no sin, or there is no place in our lives where our minds need to be changed, then we might as well forget about Advent and Christmas, because Jesus has no point and no purpose. So the point of John is not about simply making us get our act together. It's not simply about John saying, you better do some cleanup in your life. It's John doing the cleaning up so that we can have faith in our Savior, shining that spotlight, making the way straight so we can trust in and believe in our Lord. That is his point. Make no mistake, your repentance does not pay for your sin. Your sorrow does not cover your sins. Your confessing your sins is not a box you can check and hold up before God as if that makes you righteous. And there is nothing that you can do to satisfy for your sins, nothing that you can pay. Even our repentance is something that begins with God. Our repentance begins with the preaching of his law, with the thunderbolt coming. He strikes down both obvious sinners and false saints. Strikes us down so that we know that nothing of our own can pay for sin. And John instead points with his bony and strange finger to the Lamb of God. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who paid for your sin too. That is where John would point us. And that is what John would have us believe. Not in ourselves, not in our righteousness, not in our repentance, but rather in the one who came for sinners. There is the kingdom of heaven that he promised. The kingdom of heaven, the reign of your God, is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That language of the kingdom of heaven is interesting. The reign of the heavens, you might say. You might think of it as the reign and rule of the one whose reign reaches to the very end of the heavens. There is nothing that is outside the reign of our Lord, nothing beyond his reach. There is no star so far distant that is not covered under Christ's reign as king. His rule over the heavens and the earth, over all creation, as far up as you go, as far down as it can go, to the angels and archangels as well. And you heard about that reign in the book of Isaiah from the prophet, when he mentioned how at the coming of the servant of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him, and he would bring the reign of heaven and the peace of heaven. The lion will lie down with the lamb, the leopard with the young goat. The ox and the lion shall dwell together. He promises a reign of peace, a reign of harmony over all creation. That is what this one brings, a rule that knows no bounds. He is the one whose coming is near and is close. With a reign that rules over all creation, over everything in heaven and on earth and under the earth. You know what St. Paul promised, that when he comes again in glory, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. That is the kind of kingdom that is at hand and is near. It is the kingdom that he brings to you today as well. Today, not with the fireworks and the flash, but today with the unexpected promise and gifts that he has for you. Coming like he came long ago in Bethlehem. Coming in humility. Coming under his means of grace with the water and the word and the bread and the wine, choosing the lowly things to bring his reign into your life now, choosing lowly people like us, lowly ones like Mary, who said, "He has looked on the humble estate of his servant. His mercy is for those who fear him. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." The promise of his grace, even for those who are lowly, for those who are small. The promise of his grace that will do what John the Baptist urged. It will bear fruit in our lives. That language of bearing fruit I find interesting. Fruit is something that does not appear in an instant. It is something that grows over time as it is nurtured. And so it is in your life. Your Father in heaven is growing fruit in your life. Slowly, never as fast, never as much as we would wish, but slowly and surely he is bringing it forth. The good fruit of words spoken in faith. The good fruit of acts done in love and mercy. So look for opportunities for that fruit to be born in your own life. And know this, that you bear good fruit not because of your own work, but because of his work in you. As John the Baptist said, the axe is laid at the root of the trees. And do not imagine that God cannot raise up children for Abraham from the very rocks and roots and stumps. And so he has, and so he does. By his word, our God brings faith and life out of those who were dead and lifeless. And he still does it today. He brings repentance from those whose hearts were hard. He brings fruits. He brings forth fruit from trees that were dead because he makes them new. Listen to John's voice today. Listen to the thunder that comes from heaven. Listen to his cry, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And dear brother and sister in Christ, let that repentance have its way with your life today and tomorrow and until you die. And that let that repentance grab your entire life as it contends with sin remaining in your flesh and in mine. And let that call of repentance drive us to the one, the only one, the merciful one, who truly has and does and will take away the sin of the world. Amen. To your Lord Jesus Christ, whose way John prepared. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you stir the hearts of your faithful to prepare us for the advent of your Son. We implore you, feed us continually with your word and sacraments as we look for his return. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, by the ministry of your holy church, prepare the way for your Son's return in glory. Send forth faithful pastors to proclaim your law and gospel,
and grant hearers ears to listen and hearts to receive their words in faith. We give you thanks for watching over us during the first night of Living Nativity. Give us joy and energy for the second night, and grant that all who see and view our little Bethlehem may come to know and trust the child of Bethlehem as their Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your Son rules over creation with justice and righteousness. Grant those in authority the desire and ability to protect the innocent, punish the wicked, and work for the common welfare. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, as we await the day when the wolf will dwell alongside the lamb, and pain and destruction are no more, grant us patience, comfort, and healing according to your will. Hear our prayers for all who are sick, especially for those absent from our midst this morning, and for those in need, including Carol, Steve, Vivian, Al, Stan, Luann, Carol, Al and Bernie, Dan and Connie, Dan and Patty, Debbie, Gail, Lorinda, Sandy, Rick and Teresa, Tony, Tracy, and Verity. Give wisdom and skill to all medical professionals who care for them, and compassion and kindness to family and friends who help them. Lord, in your mercy. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, and make ready the way of your only begotten Son, who comes to us this day in his true body and precious blood for the forgiveness of our sins. May all who feast upon him do so in repentance and faith. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant that we may be kept in joy and sustained in hope through every trouble and trial of this mortal life. We pray especially that you would grant comfort in Christ to all who grieve, to the Bergeron and Meyer families as they grieve Ray's death, and to the family of Jim Eagle's Uncle Ed. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant, John the Baptist, to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood, given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins, and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 50. "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silent before him. He is a devouring fire. Around him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I revoke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on the thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, all that moves in the field is mine. Do not eat the flesh of blood or drink the blood of goats. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me.
Jesus Christ, strengthen you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.